Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Personalities at Carrie. In episode 54, we are talking with our very own Lama, Miguel Martinez. He's lovingly known as Migu by all of us. Miguel has a background in industrial engineering. He's an expert at LlamaSoft. He's concentrating in supply chain and interned as a consultant at Dell over the summer of 2018. Let's talk to him a little bit about his life. Here we go with Miguel Martinez. Hello everyone, welcome to episode 54 of Personalities at Carrie. And today we have Miguel Martinez, and we call him Migu because is that a name we gave you?
Program? No, it was one of the first professors. I think it was Professor Wei Shen.
Okay.
And he didn't know how to pronounce my name, so yeah, he just called me Migu, which was whatever he could read in my nameplate. And yeah, I just stayed like that. It's my MBA nickname, and I'm very fond of it. So
okay.
It is great.
As long as you don't get offended.
Oh, no. Offended. No. Good.
So, Miguel, tell us about your background. Tell us where you come from. What were you doing before this? And also what led you to pursuing an MBA?
All right. So, I come from Spain. I was born in Madrid and spent most of my life over there. I studied computer engineering. And then, as I was finishing my undergrad, I figured out that wasn't really what I wanted to do. I like hardware, but software is what people usually do in Spain. We don't have much of a hardware industry. So I didn't really want to spend my life programming. It wasn't, really didn't resonate with me. I like being with people rather than with computers all the time. So then I went straight to a master's in industrial engineering in Florida, and I spent a year over here. Went back to Spain, thinking that I could completely, eat the world with a master's from the US and all that. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like that. I just came to Spain in the worst moment of the crisis. We had 50% unemployment among recent graduates. So it was pretty terrible. And I spent there a year without working, basically, job seeking. And then I came back to the US and then to UK, to Netherlands for a little bit, again the States. I don't even know where I'm from anymore. But yeah, and about W.P. Carey, something that I really liked was this feeling of inclusiveness and when they say business is personal, I really could notice that in the interview. There were this and another school where I felt there was really a connection with people. And in some other schools, because I applied maybe to 4 or 5 more, I didn't really feel I felt you were more of a number or kind of paperwork for them, So I really connected with that here in W.P. Carey. So
okay.
So that really made me choose the place.
So why specifically do an MBA after your master's in industrial engineering?
So I told you, I was more in computer engineering and then industrial engineering. And at some point I was feeling I may be pretty decent and at math and algorithms and stuff. But there's a lot of things that happen at work that have nothing to do with algorithms, right? And you're working with people and projects and all this stuff that it really has nothing to do with studying an engineering degree and being numerically smart. You can be numerically smart, but being not so smart at so many areas, right? Mm. So I really wanted to empower myself a little bit in the soft skills side.
Okay. So now that you've come here, you probably came with certain expectations. Has there been anything that has met your expectations and exceeded it in the W.P. Carey MBA?
I would say I have learned a lot of soft skill or soft skill courses, which is something that I came for. So I have studied these leadership courses, for example, which made me reflect on some behaviors and try to really make plans to change them. So that is very nice. Something that was amazing for me is my classmates. I really find some people here that regardless of being in my class or not, I I could be fan of. If I find them in a magazine, I could say like, wow, yeah, I want to meet this person, you know, and here I am and I have them around me. And sometimes I feel like I'm admitted in this master's out of diversity. I see the people around me and I say like, wow, this, like everybody really has something that in which they are really good at. And I really try to get the best out of them and to the measure that I'm able to try to help them in whatever I can. So, yeah.
So I've seen that like when you do a master's in, say, engineering and you go through a certain stream, for example, you do computer engineering, the kind of industry you're looking at is normally similar. So everybody's looking to get the same out of it. Whereas in an MBA, it's everybody's looking at a different industry and they're trying to do different roles like marketing and in finance and all that. So that gives a lot of... you know, a diversity to our cohort as well.
Yeah, I think it really gives you also like a lot of room for exploring. Like, for example, I have never really considered all the sustainability topics like very seriously. I knew it existed and, you know, global warming and stuff and we're going to die soon and all these things that Leonardo DiCaprio and Al Gore win Oscars for. But I didn't really look at that so seriously. And I took a bunch of sustainability courses by now. And I'm really enjoying it. And I really see that it's a challenge that is out there that we have to look at. But at the same time, there is hope and there is a ton of very brilliant people working in these topics. So so that was something I never looked at. And in the MBA, I found it and I was like, this is interesting. You know?
Yeah, it's definitely like the MBA kind of, we talk about innovation over here and then you're able to take classes outside of the MBA in sustainability. That definitely gives you that edge that you can hone your skills, even not just what you learn over here in the core curriculum, but outside there.
Totally.
So when you came to the MBA, you probably wanted to do supply chain. Is that the concentration you're sticking with or have you added on to that concentration at all?
Yeah, I'm just in supply chain. I consider myself a purely supply chain guy. So I really enjoy it, man. I see like all these like processes that all the products have to undergo before they are in the shelf on the store. And I see like all the sourcing of raw materials, all the processes for manufacturing, how many countries all the stuff goes through, right? Like I was the other day at some of these stores, sports stores, and I saw that I was back in Spain and the t-shirt that I was gonna buy, a package of 3 t-shirts for $5, and that t-shirts have been like first like in China, then in Thailand, then in Germany, then in France, and then came to Spain. And I'm like, and I have these t-shirts for $5, three of them. This is a miracle, man. This is impossible. Like either somebody's being seriously underpaid, which goes back to the sustainability kind of topics that I'm very concerned to some extent about. So either that really, there's a bunch of smart people working behind this, or probably a mix of the two. So, so I guess my objective is to maximize the things in the side of the talent, and to minimize the things in the side of the abuse. Let's just call it like that. Right?
Yeah, that's a good idea. And of the courses you've taken so far, do you have a favorite course?
Well, I know it's a bit typical, but for me, like, decision modeling with bias is the superstar of this school, man. I'm such a fan of that course, and something that I really like is that there's no question that is out of question in that class. Like whatever you ask him, he engages with it. He goes for it. If he has the answer. I found sometimes like even Facebook messages like after class, he reached out to me on Facebook like, oh, by the way, this algorithm that you ask this tough question, blah, blah, blah. And then we engage in Facebook in a conversation about the algorithm. Because really, like I come from this kind of background. So maybe in his class, what we saw, I had covered already like practically all of it. And even with that, he really made me learn. He really made me like reflect on the algorithms, like put like an extra layer of interest on that. I think Byers is great, man. Like we should give him another award. Last year he won one, and this year he should have another.
Nice. Also, you had a very unique internship experience, like getting the internship. You kind of took what we learned in class, which was a case that we did, the Hourly Nerd.
Yeah.
And then you went to their website and got yourself a job at Dell. So can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Oh, no, yeah. I was basically like pretty lucky. Like not only, like you say, we found this business case, in marketing, like Hourly Nerd, which is, for all, those of you who don't know, it's basically like a platform online where you can find, they connect people who want to do like, who have like very niche skills with companies who need like these skills, right, for some particular project. So I learned about this website with the case. I got into just giving it a shot, right? Because I've been job seeking for so long, right? And then, I just happened to have worked beforehand in this company that makes a software optimization of supply chains. And it's a very niche skill and almost nobody knows about this software. So, it's the famous LlamaSoft that I promote so much, right? Mm-hmm. So I just put this word, just trying, in this search engine that had maybe like 400 offers. And I just find this offer that is from some anonymous company saying like, oh yeah, we want to do some inventory optimization. And I couldn't really imagine that it was going to be Dell, it happened they reached out to me. They told me that they liked my profile a lot for optimization and computer science. Like I kind of put everything together that they needed. Mm-hmm. And kind of like the planets aligned in that moment, and they offered me like a mind-blowing internship. It was really nice. So and over there what I was doing, it was basically taking the inventory from Asia, both in personal computers and monitors, and basically optimizing it, like giving them like new inventory levels that they should have in each of the distribution centers. Mm-hmm. And it was like really a really good learning experience. And the company is great. The company is overflowing talent and smart people, which if you like this kind of environments, Dell is amazing, and they are very numerical and they are very serious with the things they talk about. Like my manager, he had like an MBA in the MIT and a master's in industrial engineering. So basically I couldn't bullshit with this guy, It wasn't the kind of guy that you told him like, oh yeah, like some beautiful presentation. No. Like he wanted to see the numbers. And I've seen in Dell that over and over again, like they are very in the numerical side, and they take analytics very seriously, which I value. But another thing of Dell is that it seems like pretty much your entry level is an MBA, which makes it like super difficult to promote later, for example, promote mm-hmm. yourself, because you have an MBA, so what? Everybody mm-hmm. has an MBA over there, right? So mm-hmm. you really have to put an extra layer, I'd say, as compared to some other companies, mm-hmm. to climb the ladder a little bit. Like typically I have seen MBAs with 3-5 years of experience who are exactly in the same place where they started, because everybody's so smart. Mm-hmm. Right, so if you really like more visibility and going like climbing up the ladder and being like managing more people and all that, mm-hmm. Dell may be not your best place because of this level mm-hmm. of knowledge. But if you are more stimulated by having like all super smart people around you and doing projects from the humility of a senior analyst position, Dell offers like really stimulating opportunities.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know. I mean, some people really like to perform well and then climb up the ladder. That's a good place to be then. Yeah. All right. So tell me a little bit about anything that in the school has stood out to you in terms of like the clubs that we have. Obviously, you're also a vice president of the supply chain
club. Yeah, I'm so important. Yeah.
But then there are some other clubs. Then there's the courier services, executive connections, all the things that we do, the events that we have. Is there anything that you have gone to that has kind of blown your mind?
Right, yeah. So there's a lot of people doing a great job. Like, I think Monica does beautifully with this Job Search Club, which mm-hmm. is something, some initiative that she had herself, like seeing that she was struggling with the job search and some other people were struggling, and she took the initiative to do like these workshops and days of searching together, setting up a Facebook, a WhatsApp group with offers that everybody posted, also some repository in Excel with the offers that people keep finding. That is the great collaborative spirit that I think a business school has to have, because we may be 100 people, but there are probably like 5,000 positions out there. Like, we don't really have to fight for them all that much. Like, if we think about it, like, all of us have a room in the market, and very nice rooms. So that is great. I was also very impressed with Trang and her consulting club. I think she does an amazing job. Dustin with Toast the Veils is also great. Like, I don't know, man. Like, so many people put in the best of themselves that I'm really, yeah, the clubs is one of the best part of the school for me.
All right.
Yeah.
So when you have some time on your own, you have some leisure time outside of studying, what is it that you do? What are your hobbies?
Yeah, well, when it comes to sports, I play a little bit of racquetball, and I also practice some kung fu when I have some time.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So that is lots of fun.
What do you mean practice? You have to like fight with someone? Or just by yourself
in front
of a mirror?
Yeah, like, so the practice is somewhere in the middle between like the theory and kind of like you know, like petty fight and all that.
Okay.
But it's lots of fun, man. And then, besides that, I like hiking, volunteering when I have some chance, which I would like to do more, like when I finish the MBA. And also, like, I love watching movies, man. I enjoy a lot. Like, I think you have some movies question later, so I'm keeping myself for that.
That's where we are right now.
But,
to know a little bit of a personal life as well.
Yeah, so
what movies are you talking about? What's your favorite movie?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I enjoy, like, a ton of different stuff, like, from, like Pulp Fiction, from Tarantino, which I know is from the 90s already, but it's, like, a very, I don't know, it's like almost like the definition of modern movie. Like, after that, everybody has as a reference this movie of how to do something chic, you know, and shocking. So anything between that and like the good, the bad, and the ugly, this Western from the 60s, which is amazing, is mind-blowing, like the music and the visuals and everything, to some like maybe going through like some very interesting plots and like I don't know, man, like mafia movies, some war movies, comedies, like anything. The only ones that I don't like it so much are the horror movies. I used to like them more when I was younger.
Really?
But now I kind of get scared, man. Like, I don't really enjoy the feeling anymore. I'm like, why should I be here, like, having a bad time when I could just be watching, you know, like a comedy or silly action movie or something? So I'm kind of done with horror movies. I don't know. I'm not very brave, I guess.
I think the way horror movies have changed is like now they're only jump scares in the movie. It's not more of a, like, this, you know, you have to think a lot about what's really going on. It's just like, I know what's going on, but like suddenly someone will show up on the screen.
Yeah, there are like a pair of currents with that. I think one is the jump movies that you talk about, and the other one is this line of movies, like probably inaugurated by the Saw series, which are just like basically like gore movies. Like, let's see how nasty we can make this movie or something. I don't join that, man. If anything, I like the classic kind of slasher movies, right? Like Halloween and all this. from the 70s, where suspense was still there, you know, not just like the blood and the scares, but like genuine suspense and psychological horror.
I think if you're into a little bit of horror, there's a new series on Netflix that it's called The Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
And it came out just last year and it got rave reviews, so maybe you should try that.
We'll give it a try, man. Yeah, sounds good.
Anything else in terms of if you're binge watching any TV series or anything that you've watched in the past you want to recommend?
Yeah, I don't know. TV series, like, I don't watch so much. Like, I kind of prefer to trade them off for... If somebody tells me, like, oh, this series is amazing, but, oh, by the way, you have to spend 100 hours watching it to catch up, I'm like, dude, I don't have 100 hours. I really wish, but I just don't. Like, so I prefer to watch movies in general, but the last series that I did watch that I was like, this is stopping my TV experience and I'm not gonna watch anything else, was Breaking Bad.
Mm.
With Breaking Bad, I was like, okay, man, I'm done. I just dropped the mic and I don't watch TV series again, man.
So did you watch that while it was going on?
Oh yeah. And that's it, man. That's another thing about series. Like you either binge watch them and waste enormous amounts of time, or you have to wait 1 year between seasons, which makes me like really impatient, and it's not worth it for me. Like waiting 1 year between seasons, I get like by the fifth year, I almost don't care anymore, except for Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
With the others, I was like by the third season, I was like, okay, man, I'm tired of waiting for this. I really prefer to watch 1.5 hours closed plot done. You know, so that's my way of watching it, I guess.
For me, it's been like if people tell me that this is great, you should watch this.
Mm-hmm.
More than that, I feel good about like discovering something on my own, which just starts and then I start watching it and it turns out to be great.
Right.
So I don't know. It's something in me that I want to feel that I started watching this because nobody ever told me, but I discovered it myself that it's great.
Yeah. Well, you eat a lot of trash by doing that as well.
Right? Yeah, that too. Yeah. Like sometimes you start watching and then they cancel the show and then you're like, oh my God, I put in so much time in it.
Yeah, totally.
What about music? You have a favorite genre of music and an artist that you love?
Yeah, well, for music, I could say I'm not all that much into music in the sense that there aren't many groups that I'm fan of. I usually listen to more like loose songs and in that regards, it's there's a handful of genres that I wouldn't really like electronic music. Not really a fan of it. Like neither like kind of hip hop kind of thing. Like. I'd say except for some songs from Eminem, for example, or like maybe like Snoop Dogg, like very famous people that they do make some nice songs from time to time. Like it's a genre that I usually don't get very much. But for the others, like 70s and 80s rock and like disco music and I don't know, like a little bit of classical sometimes, but I also listen I like Sigur Rós, which I know that Bevis, for example, was a fan of. We share that interest. I like Vampire Weekend in this line of more like a indie kind of rock thing. Mm. So, I enjoy here and there a little bit, but not like a group. I have never really been in a concert because, for any group that I look at, there's like 30% of the songs that I like and 70 that I'm like, meh, I really wouldn't pay for that, you know,
really?
Like $60 or $100. Yeah.
It's an experience to go to a concert.
I know, but...
You don't have to know all the songs or even like all the songs. It's just being there in that environment with the loud music.
Yeah, nice. I guess I'm a bit stingy as well. So I say, like, no, man, for me, this concert is worth, let's see, $60. I divide it by 10 songs and I multiply it by 3. I know. And eventually I don't go to anything. But yeah, I got to work on that.
Are you into reading books? Do you have a book series or a favorite author or something like that?
And the thing is, I'm reading much more non-fiction than fiction. So I have like a lot of inquietudes. Like I really like exploring things and concepts and science and psychology and neuroscience, and I read a lot of like a lot of random stuff, but for like more like of a like entertaining thing, I don't do all that much. I remember a couple of years ago reading this book, The Road by Cormac McCarthy, and I loved that book, man. It was really nice, like the narrative and the story and all the. So I like that one a lot, and I usually from farther back, like my adolescence or like early, the rest of my early adulthood, because I'm there still. I remember liking this kind of like anti-hero kind of stories, right? Like people fighting against the elements of a cruel world that surrounds them. So that's an interesting kind of book, but I find it very, I really like when the good guy wins. Maybe I'm a bit cheesy on that, but yeah, that's how it works.
Okay. If you had to pick a person from history that you could have coffee with and chat them up a little bit, who would that be?
Yeah, I like Dalai Lama a lot. I think he really has a lot of perspective in lives, perspectives in life that are like super useful for you to like, I don't know, to really like cope with all the difficulties that come to everyone. And he really has like these recipes that are, on top of that, are really universal. Like, like come on, it's a guy from Tibet. Like it's really interesting that he has like all these amazing advices and philosophies that can be applicable to a guy like, from Spain like myself or someone. So he, with his lessons and all this, he really brings this feeling of like that you can see in this MBA, right? Like after all, we are all like pretty much the same. We really have the same preoccupations. We really get happy with the same stuff. It's just like every culture is slightly different in the degrees that to which they do these different components, right? But it's really, it's really nice and peaceful to see that that at the end of the day we're all like very similar, right? So it really inspires that on me.
When I ask this question, I'm always like, when I get this answer, I'm like, there's not one Dalai Lama, right? In history, there have been more than one.
Yeah, I'm fine of this one. Okay. I don't know the other ones, man. They don't have like books and movies and stuff.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm fine of the commercial Dalai Lama. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any pet peeves you can tell us about?
Oh, yeah, man. Like, it's quite a silly thing, but yeah, so you know when you have like some like new paper, as in like a new book or something that you have just been printing, like a case or something. And then there is someone that says like, hey, can I have a look? And then they lick their thumb and they put it straight on your paper. Like your immaculate paper has been instantly like contaminated with this person that may be your friend, but hey, your friends have microbes too, right? So just as you do, right? But oh man, like I can see and almost like hear like this kind of like a squeezing of his thumb with the, you know, with the spit like in your paper, and I'm like, no, I can see it like slowly, you know, in the movies. Yeah, in the slow motion. So yeah, man, like, yeah, that really gets me a little bit.
Good thing you've told this to everyone now and nobody will do
it. Yeah, man, please don't do that. Come on, guys. You just take more time to pass the paper, the pages, and that's fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
But what are your plans after graduation? Do you know what you're going to do, or do you have a particular company or a role that you want to, you know, go with?
Yeah, so I was contacted by this company, HEB, and these guys are a huge supermarket in Texas. Like, in Texas, everybody wants to shop there, and it's even, like, it has very good cultural links with Texas, so people don't buy there only because they have to, but because they feel like, hey, this is our supermarket, right? So these guys, they reach out to me, and we are doing some... they are hiring me basically for supply chain optimization. So right now they have like the all the different optimizations, the like the transportation and the warehousing and the inventory and all that, they have them kind of separate, and they are setting up this internal consulting team where they put together like all the different parts, and they make like a comprehensive supply chain optimization with all these different variables, right?
Okay.
So it's very exciting for me, and this job will be in San Antonio in Texas. So I like it a lot as well. I visited this summer, and it feels a little bit like the downtown feels a bit like Europe, like people walking everywhere, which I love. I miss a bit of like walking in the streets in this continent, I guess. So yeah, it's that's what I'm gonna do.
Okay. In the long run, do you see yourself working over here, or do you want to go back to Europe? What is your thought?
Yeah, going back to Spain. Like at the end of the day, even when I love adventure and all that, and the work in the US is amazing. So many opportunities, but work is not my only value. Like I also have to take care of like the family, being the family, like siblings and cousins and parents and all that. Like my parents are still in an age where I can enjoy them, you know. Like later they just become too old, and you just can't like take care of them, right? But as long as they can be like much more active and all that, like I would like to enjoy them. So yeah, I think my plan is like probably 3 years here in the US, and then going straight back to Spain with a good sack of money. Yeah.
So now that you're almost done with your MBA, do you have any advice for prospective MBA students who might be listening?
Yeah,
how to
so
get through the MBA and all that.
Yeah, I would say like for the first year, I feel like you really have not much of a room for like many aspirations or anything, right? The first year you are just like a boat that is being like hit by the wind, right? And you just go like wherever you can so that you can get to the other side, right? So first year just survive. Have some friends, like spend some time with them as well. Like they are a very good psychological support for all the difficulties that you may have. And I guess that's especially true in the case of the internationals. Like really do support each other, be like genuinely interested in each other. Just like listen to the non-spoken things that people may be feeling like very like homesick or sick even, maybe, like you don't know. So really support each other. That's very important, I think, for the first year. And the second year, like, I guess, like, really don't lose the enthusiasm. Like, there's a lot of people now that may have, like, one classes or two classes because they don't have much more to take. I feel like while we were talking about before, like, the Netflix and all this stuff. While that is nice, you should probably use it in moderation. Like if you are someday in your deathbed and you think about what did you do this year, you try to have some memories about it. You probably are not gonna remember yourself sitting in a couch watching Netflix, right? so whereas Netflix is nice for some your couple of hours per day or whatever, really like don't waste a ton of time with that, because this place is amazing and there is just so much to do and so much to learn, and really with your time you can do pretty much anything. Like I think it's very important to appreciate how lucky we are. Like we really have like the knowledge and the opportunities to do like basically whatever we can. So why not like trying to do something that really empowers other people to become a better version of themselves, rather than kind of like just like lazing around the second year of MBA, you know. It's I guess I get a bit sad when I see that this happens in some cases, because it's like, come on, man, like just you can do better than that, right? So So yeah, don't lose the enthusiasm. Explore here in the school. Go to this school and that school and explore the topics that you are interested, like biology or music, or go and do some theater classes, like whatever floats your boat. But have a boat, okay?
Have a boat.
Yeah.
All right. Also, I mentioned earlier that you're the vice president of the GSCMA. Do you have any things to plug in the next few weeks or months that you guys are organizing?
We were organizing. It is tomorrow. This visit to the reverse logistics center of the distribution center of Home Depot, and then we're also planning on something with Amazon potentially. Like we are scheduling right now the visits that we can do. And but for this quarter, hopefully, man, I've been like really chasing this company that I work for, Lamasoft. So I'm really trying to establish here like some training on the tool, which may be great for people for finding jobs or at least to see like real life tools, optimization tools, how they work. So I'm planning on that, and the rest I guess will be for Q8. We haven't planned for Q8 quite a lot yet, but I don't know, things will happen, like we will figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the best.
Yeah.
Figuring those things out.
It always works. It's fine.
Also, once you graduate, how would you like your peers to remember you? I know how I'll remember you, but from your perspective.
Yeah, I guess when it comes to working, I guess I'm not the person who's at the end of the day like the one who gets the stuff the first one, or the person who does the mechanical thing the quickest. Like I'm more of a reflective person than a quick person. I'm just not. What I do is that I do work a lot and I do prepare a lot. Like you don't see me like coming to a meeting not having read the stuff and not having prepared. Like if I'm in a meeting, I'm valuable there. Otherwise, I rather not go and spend my life doing something else, right? So that is one. But the other one I'd say, which is more important for me, is to be regarded as a person who genuinely cares about the others. Like you come to me with whatever you want, and I really do the best to give my advice or my input to it, and of course it's something completely personal and anonymous, and I don't really have any hidden agendas. I'm like a super transparent and straightforward person, and really helping others, that does motivate me. So if anybody has anything that they need, I really at least try to figure out if there's something that I can do.
And if people want to get in touch with you, where are you available? On social media, email?
I live in McCord to start with. And then if they don't find me in my room, which right now is by Christine's office. So I'm working over there a couple of hours per day. But besides that, I guess you can reach out to me in my email, which I could spell is M, like for Miguel, so mmart, that's mmart 197 at asu.edu. So that's where you can find me.
All right. Thanks, Miguel, for doing this. We have come to the end of the episode.
It was a pleasure, man. It was great.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, our listeners, and we'll see you in the next one. Goodbye.
Take care.
Miguel is such a fun person to hang out with. I bet I'll read his name in the newspapers someday that he has been able to optimize all of the supply chain networks of the world. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening and supporting our podcast. We are available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and many other podcast platforms. I shall see you all in the next one. Goodbye and peace.